Again, he doesn't really care to do or say whatever, as you can see his little sideline spats with opposing teams this year. So
getting ready for another fascinating weekend in the NFL, because I think you can make, I mean, obviously you're talking about the final four teams in the NFL. They all deserve to be there. They have all played great over the last month of the season. So you can make arguments, valid arguments, I believe, not just, you know, emotional ones, but with actual facts, that both underdogs could win. The Titans definitely have a chance to go on the road and pull off another upset, because that's what they've done this whole playoff run. And I think the Packers, because of the play of Aaron Rodgers and Jones, I think this is a really good team, and they could also pull off the upset over an inexperienced Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs.
Yeah, and if San Francisco can't run the football, it's spreading the workload out amongst three backs and been very effective, was very effective against Minnesota. So if San Francisco can't run the football against that Green Bay defense, you're putting the ball in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo. Are those receivers healthy enough? Debo Samuels took a step up. Emmanuel Sanders has come on. George Kittle, he's been limited at practice a little bit as well. Is Jimmy Garoppolo good enough?
Kittle, you would have to chain him in a basement for him to not play in this game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's going to play for sure. But yeah, you're right. This stage, Garoppolo's had plenty of postseason experience as a backup, and watching Tom Brady go about it, this will be a whole new stage for him. So, playoff Aaron Rodgers, he's been there, he's done that. This is the veteran team. And so you're exactly right. I think both teams, we've talked a lot of Titans already, but I think Green Bay could certainly pull off the upset this weekend.
The 49ers team speed seems to be the difference maker. Like, if we are talking about the 49ers winning, they just have a lot of speed right now.
Yeah,
on offense and defense.
They do, and they're getting healthier on defense too. Got a number of players back. D Ford played last week. Again, if Chris Jones could be healthy, that's something, but very fast in the back end. VFL, it's made a huge difference for San Francisco this year. Emmanuel Mosley might be starting at cornerback in this game.
Yeah. And
he's going to play regardless, but has played very big for San Francisco. But you're right, speed is one of those things. And again, you can't coach speed, and San Francisco's got it.
So this is Jimmy Garoppolo's first championship game.
As a starter.
As a starter. So we'll see what he does. Aaron Rodgers obviously has been there before, has won a Super Bowl. Would you be surprised if I told you that he is 5-6 in the playoffs in the 10 years after he won the Super Bowl?
No, it wouldn't really surprise me, because I feel like, Green Bay gets there.
That's true.
They're not missing out on any playoffs, but they don't really make a whole lot of noise since he got that Super Bowl ring. Of course, had the big win against, the Dallas Cowboys a couple of years ago. That's the most notable game that Green Bay's played in post that run. So you're right. That's not very surprising. So, and Aaron Rodgers pointed out, I'm at the age now where, Brett was when I came in. I know that the chances are few and far between. This might be my best chance that I have left to get one. So Aaron Rodgers won't be lacking any motivation. He's still through. His numbers were down, still through for over 4,000 yards this year. Touchdown interception ratio was good. But no, that didn't surprise me at all, actually.
What do you think of Matt LaFleur in his first season? It was interesting, everything that happened in the offseason with him basically taking a lot of the control away from Aaron Rodgers and say, no, you've got to earn it in my system. And yeah. Aaron was like, I'm pretty good. I've been an MVP before. I'm Aaron Rodgers. I don't think this Packers team, and if Packers fans are listening and I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. It's totally fine.
We're not cheeseheads here.
Yeah, we're not cheeseheads. I've watched multiple games this year. I don't think they've had a game where they've played all four quarters. I don't think they've played a 60-minute game yet.
Yeah, I still think that there's a lot left on the table for Green Bay, and now's the time to play that type of game. As far as Matt LaFleur, I wanted it to work so bad in Tennessee. When Mike Mularkey was fired, I wanted Matt LaFleur to be the head coach of Tennessee, and they interviewed him, went away, got Vrabel, and then got Matt LaFleur to be his OC. So I was really pumped up. Mm-hmm. It just goes to see what you can do with talent. Tennessee's offense was stagnant last year. It was boring as always. You saw the creativity there. Marcus Mariota, Corey Davis, Tennessee just couldn't get it done offensively. Now you put Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, you can see what's going on. So I'm impressed with Matt LaFleur. It just shows you how good he is with capable guys around him, and how he's able to kind of have that existing relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Because, you're a 36-year-old quarterback that's won a Super Bowl in this league, won an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
You have a young gun coming in here, a rising head coach, and saying, you know, I'm the new guy in town. You're going to have to earn it. It would ruffle some feathers, too. But Aaron Rodgers is also kind of a jerk sometimes. So there's that. But it looks like, all things considering, it's gone really, really well in year number one at Green Bay.
So the biggest thing is this is a rematch for both teams. Both teams have obviously played each other this season. The 49ers crushed the Packers. I think it was like 37 to 8.
Yes.
Okay. Rodgers only passed for 104 yards. A career worst, 3.2 yards per attempt. Do we see that guy, or is that a false narrative going into this game?
Well, they've done it to him before, so certainly you could see that guy, but you're not going to see that guy. How many times has Aaron Rodgers been held to, it's surprising when he's held under 200 yards passing. Mm-hmm. Green Bay as a whole was held under the 200 yards in that game. There was a couple of turnovers as well. Again, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to do a whole lot. It was just feasting off what was a rampant offense and the defense that was getting, making stops in a big way. I don't anticipate seeing this game being a blowout at all. You've got film on each other. I mean, how many times are you going to pin Aaron Rodgers down like that? You're not going to. So you also, Aaron Jones didn't have, did Aaron Jones even play in that game? He did. He was not a big factor in that game as well. So I don't see it being a blowout here at all.
How weird is this? Because I know it was odd during the Super Bowl when the 49ers and the Ravens played as brothers coaching. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur's brother is the pass game coordinator for the 49ers.
Huh, that is interesting.
Isn't that weird?
House divided for the parents.
Yeah.
That's very weird. I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I remember that Super Bowl was in 2012, right? With the Ravens and the 49ers. That was when the lights went out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when the lights went out.
Was it the Beyonce where she wrecked the...
No. I can't remember. I don't know.
Think it was that one.
I just remember that's the Super Bowl. The lights went out and there was a delay. But I couldn't even imagine if you're a family member, like, you support both. But, how do you root for that? That's very interesting.
It's going to be cloudy and 55 degrees, so it doesn't look like weather's going to be any sort of a factor.
Also, that first matchup, George Kittle, 129 yards through the air receiving.
Wow.
Yeah. That was.
He could easily do that again.
Mm-hmm. And again, San Francisco spread out the wealth on the ground, had three players run pretty effectively, too. So I think that was a perfect storm. You're not going to see Green Bay being held to 8 points again. You're just not. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's just not going to happen. Aaron Rodgers, a backup quarterback, came in and played some in that game. That's how bad things were going. So,
I would be concerned with where Nick Bosa is at all times if I'm Aaron Rodgers.
He's so good.
So good.
He is so flipping good. I would have some chips on him. I would have the running back coming to help. I would go some six-man protections, keeping a tight end in there at all times. That's what you got to do against good players like Nick Bosa. And that, in that line, I believe it was six sacks on Kirk Cousins in the NFC champion or the NFC divisional round game. So they can get after it.
I was watching some NFL reporters yesterday on Twitter, and Green Bay, this is kind of unorthodox. They were not in pads yesterday. Their last day in pads ended up being on Tuesday. Matt LaFleur said that was by design. He wants his team not only physically as fresh as they can be going into this game, but mentally as well.
Yeah, it's that point in the season where, in the NFL, you hardly hit during the week at all, but you still have shelves, helmet, shoulder pads and stuff, but you need to be as fresh as can be. Now I've seen video of Henry at practice. He's had helmet and shoulder pads on, but if I was Mike Vrabel this week, Derrick Henry, dude, you just go lounge all week long because you're going to get 30-plus carries again.
Who's back in the crown this week? Somebody put it in your bag.
Yeah.
Just give it to Henry just in case after the game.
I mean, Tennessee won at Arrowhead last time. That was, if you remember, that was old Marcus Mariota throwing a touchdown to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Heck of a play.
Got batted back to him.
Yeah, I think Tennessee trailed in the second half, down 17-3, came back and won. That was fun. So, again, we're shifting gears here, talking Tennessee Titans now, but there's a lot of reasons you can make the case for Tennessee to win, and my fans coming through here. I'm picking Kansas City, but it should be a good one.
We'll talk about that coming up next, 656-9900. If you want to watch the Titans, WVLT is having a Titans watch party coming up at Main Event 2:30 on Sunday. So make your plans to head over to Kingston Pike. Take the whole family because it's a family-friendly place. Great food right there at Main Event. We'll be back with more Sports 180, talking the NFL Championship Weekend on The Sports Animal. NFL Championship Weekend this weekend. We've been talking Titans, been talking NFC Championship game, trying to make some sort of determination of which teams are going to win. Rewind to the Fort Sanders face-off that we had back in hour number one. We picked the same teams. We both went with the favorites, the Chiefs and the 49ers, which is so boring.
I know.
But it's hard. When you're a 7.5-point favorite in the NFL, it's hard to go the other way.
And Tennessee was a 10.5-point dog last week and pulled it off. And again, I'm sandbagging a little bit because I am a Titans fan, but better safe than sorry.
Will you be crushed if the Titans don't win, or is this just kind of sprinkles on the Sunday? Like anything extra.
I mean, here's the thing. I didn't expect anything from this because, I mean, this was a 9-7 football team. Yeah. This was typical Tennessee, middle of the road. Now, give the team credit. It's finished over a 500 record the last three years, but still, I didn't expect this at all. So, but now that you're here, you want it.
The equivalent would be is if Tennessee somehow, after the Vols, after their dreadful start, if they somehow won the East, won the SEC title, got into the playoff, and were like, on the cusp of possibly playing for a championship. I mean, that's the equivalent because it came out of nowhere.
You are so close right now too. And the way you're playing, you can realistically see yourself playing in the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, I'll be upset. I'll be upset a little bit, but I mean, I won't, we were talking on the morning show too. Like, a lot of people around here are Peyton fans. So like not a lot of people aren't Titans fans around here, but if you're
Peyton's
ever
been gone for years though, exactly, be a Titans fan.
So, and if now's not the year, then what are you waiting on? Because you might not ever get this close
again.
That's
a good call because the Preds basically got a ton of fans when, as an 8 seed, they made their run at the Stanley Cup. So this could be the equivalent if you're looking for the younger fans that have no real identity with the Titans because they haven't really won anything in a long time. Do you think the Titans will pick up some extra bandwagon fans, Joel? During this run, if they're able to pull off the upset?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, a lot of Predators fans came out of nowhere, and people that I've talked to about hockey since then have kind of admitted they never really became Preds fans until the playoff success. So for local football fans that maybe have always watched Eric Berry or Peyton Manning and have watched former Vols that may not be playing anymore, Cowboys fans that were Jason Witten fans.
Yeah, yep, that's a good one.
It's an opportunity for people to start following the Titans because you're seeing success. So, yeah, I think it would. I can't imagine how it wouldn't at least help the fan base. It always helps when the team goes to a Super Bowl.
Hard to be an Eagles fan to support Derek Barnett. You can support Barnett, but it's hard to be an Eagles fan.
Well, obviously for me.
Yeah, but just in general, that whole fan base. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. There's definitely better options out there.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I said my top five Titans impact players. Like, if we're talking about the Titans winning, I think you're going to get big games from... my number five was Greg Joseph because he still has not attempted a field goal.
Hopefully he doesn't have to.
Hopefully it's just touchdown city, right?
Yeah.
He's 15 for 15 on extra point attempts, though.
Tennessee's been a little gray in that area all year long. So.
Yeah. Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
I said A.J. Brown, even though he's only had 2 catches through the first 2 games.
But he had such a great regular season. At some point, when Tannehill's going to have to throw, he's going to have to throw it to him, yeah.
Ryan Tannehill was number two, and then Derrick Henry, number one. Who did I miss?
Jarrell Casey. I think he's a guy that you need to put in there. He's the leader of the defense. He's very impactful.
He was number two on Joel's list.
Yeah. What was your list, Joel? Do you remember?
I have it written down. Yeah. Adoree Jackson.
I had Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson tied for number five. Yeah. I had...
Harold Landry.
I had Harold Landry at number four. I had Tannehill at three. I had Jarrell Casey at two.
And I
had Henry at number one. Okay. I thought about putting Kevin Byard on my list. John Wilkerson had him on there and I considered it because I don't know if Tennessee's winning that game without some takeaways.
Yeah. And he's just the heart and soul of that defense, I feel like. Even more so than Casey. I just really feel like Byard at this point is who's going to, like, if they need a stop, who's going to rally them on the sidelines, get everybody pumped up to play their best?
Well, I feel like it's Byard. Great story. Played locally near the Middle Tennessee area. Got paid a couple of off seasons ago. Primetime didn't know his name. Then he got to he's a really, really good story. Certainly a leader and one of the best players in the back end of the NFL. And Logan Ryan, too, how sweet was he? He dropped an interception in the fourth quarter at New England. Couple minutes later, got the interception, ran it back, sealed the game.
The pick six.
Yeah, the pick six. So
possibly ending Tom Brady's tenure.
Possibly.
In New England on a pick six.
I'm not trying to. The Tennessee Titans finally had to just put a stop to it. So,
Go Braves.
Hey, yeah. Go Braves. A former player putting a stop to it. That's something.
I know. Danielson beating Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. That's what that was.
A lot of Patriots players on this team. Of course, Malcolm Butler's hurt right now, but you have Logan Ryan, you have Butler, you have Deion Lewis in the backfield, Mike Vrabel's head coach.
John Robinson.
Yeah, John Robinson. There's a lot of ties to that tree for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. We'll see what happens moving forward with the Patriots. But yeah, I think it's just funny that Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans are in the mix, and Tom Brady's been sitting at home for a couple of weeks. It's wild.
Yeah, it's really wild. Of course, Brady said that he's going to come back and play next year. He didn't say it would be in New England, but you know, I expect that for sure.
That might not totally be up to him.
Yeah.
Because if New England flexes him out, which stranger things have happened.
I know you've seen, I know Green Bay got rid of Favre essentially, but like, could you imagine New England saying like, Tom, thanks, but we appreciate everything you've done this century for us, but hey, we're going to go in a different direction.
Pull the OBJ.
Oh, no. What an idiot. What a moron. Should there be a war? Should there be an arrest warrant out for his? No, but like, what an idiot.
Yeah, Barrett Salee back in hour number one. Jeez. From CBS Sports. He was like, that wasn't all the craziness that he was doing. He apparently feeling good and feeling himself. He was on a 12 Monday night. He was on a 12. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, you have some recruiting news, a recruiting update. So we'll get to that coming up next. 656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. If you want to chime in, talking NFL playoffs and recruiting updates, and also a funny tweet about Georgia and their coaching staff, all that coming up next on Sports 180. Eric Kane with a little bit of a recruiting update. This is an interesting time. Are guys more focused on closing out 2020 right now, or is all the attention on 2021? How do they divvy up their time? And somebody's picking up the slack for David Johnson, who is recently joined the Florida State staff.
Yeah, Coach O.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coach O's out there, kind of a one of those behind-the-scenes guys that was off the field coaching now. Taking the place of David Johnson on the recruiting trail. The note I want to point out real quick, and this came out right as we started taking the air around noon today. I'm just now seeing it. 2020 commit Kyrie Miller, who did not sign in the early signing period. He has tweeted out earlier today, my recruitment is 100% open. That was kind of expected. When he didn't sign with Tennessee back in the early signing, he was planning on doing it, and then the more it's going on, we kind of expected that Kyrie Miller would not be a part of the class. So
okay,
didn't want to point that out there. But Tennessee, 3 weekends to host before the February signing period comes, and it's you want to close strong. Don't get me wrong, but so much emphasis now is on 2021. So big recruiting weekends coming up the next few weeks.
Any insight into Jay Hardy? I'm still holding out hope. The longer this thing goes on, I'm excited, but
not looking great. Okay. He told the Rivals Auburn site that he was shutting down his recruitment, that he was ready to sign with the Tigers, but just a week before he told VolQuest that he wants to get back up to Knoxville. He wants to continue the relationship. So it's, you know, you don't know, but he did reach out to the rival side of Auburn and say, my recruitment shut down. So Tennessee's not going to quit. Jeremy Pruitt's going to try, has another in-home visit left. He's going to go knock on the door until he answers. Jay Hardy's a guy that they want, as well as D. Beckwith, Lamonte Turner's cousin, maybe fill in that tight end spot. He's an athlete out of Alabama. He will be on campus this Sunday and Monday.
You won't understand this reference because you don't have kids yet, but recruiting seems to be like taking a kid's temperature. Like my toddler just out of nowhere could like spike a fever. And you're like, what happened? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And that's how recruiting is. You're just like, what? Wait a second. He did what?
I'm learning. You know, I've started to really be hands-on in recruiting in the last, like this fall. And so I'm learning more and more about it. I mean, there's never a slow period. They're always recruiting. There's always visits. I mean, there's a little bit of dead periods, but.
Well, yeah, because they all hate the early signing period now, which the more I've talked to even like writers about it, it really does make no sense.
Well, you did have guys that were already enrolled in like on campus and in school and everything going to workouts, but hadn't officially signed with the team. So, I mean, I kind of like it from that sense. But as far as the coaches, now they're getting paid. Don't get me wrong. They're earning that money because, I mean, you're coaching a football team. You're preparing for a lot of these guys for conference championships, college football playoffs, and you're recruiting
just your bowl
as well.
Game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're balancing so much. And so it's very challenging. That's for sure. I mean, Tennessee now in 2018 was not bowl eligible, so it didn't matter. But after the Vanderbilt game, Tennessee, like the football team, took an entire week off and all the coaches hit the road and were gone for a week just recruiting. And so, you know, it's hard to balance all that.
Yeah. It definitely is. I couldn't do it. There's not enough money you could pay me to
I would
have to recruit. It would just be awful.
Now, I like, the more I get to know the process and I get to talk to these kids and I get to tell their story, that's fun for me because I enjoy writing and I enjoy, like, I like telling a story. I think it's fun. But as far as just recruiting, as far as a coach, let me go to the NFL.
Kissing their butt, yeah.
Let me be Joe Brady and go get that money. Yeah. Let me go to the NFL. I don't have to recruit. I would love that.
I will say this, a couple of notes in case you missed it today. Maybe you've been out and about. Maybe you've been chained to your desk and haven't been able to listen, whatever. LSU lost also their defensive coordinator as Dave Aranda has taken the Baylor job. So that materialized. His name got a lot of play early on yesterday and continued throughout the day. And then Baylor went ahead and said, yes, this has happened. And also, Todd Monken has been named the offensive coordinator at Georgia. So Georgia confirms the hire of Todd Monken. He was let go with Cleveland after serving as Freddie Kitchens' offensive coordinator this past year. He's got great ties, though. I mean, don't hold the Cleveland year against him. I actually think this is a good hire for Georgia. I thought Coley was maybe in over his head a little bit, being inexperienced play calling. He's a great recruiter. That he's got a lot of value to that staff. He's going to actually be reassigned. So the title appears to be stripped from Coley as OC. He's going to stick around as, right now, an assistant head coach.
The assistant to the assistant regional manager?
Yes, next to associate head coach Matt Luke. So Roger Sherman points out Georgia now appears to have a head coach, assistant head coach, associate head coach, offensive coordinator, pass game coordinator, run game coordinator, defensive coordinator, and co-defensive coordinator.
Well, currently, right now, Tennessee has co-DCs and, you know, Jeremy Pruitt. Excuse me. On offense, you have an OC, you have a passing game coordinator, then you have an assistant coach. So it's not that
and
in-depth.
T. Martin is an associate head coach, right?
T. Martin's associate and passing game coordinator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The titles have gotten ridiculous.
So, like, Well, Ainsley's the DC, and now Kevin Shear's the special teams coordinator. It's all about how you pay them, you know, and that you make up these special names.
You give titles so that you can give Mo money.
Mo money.
Are you expecting any more turnover on the Tennessee coaching staff before we take a break?
I am. I know a couple of the coaches, their contracts expire. I believe Chris Runn's contract expires at the end. I'm not saying that he's going to go anywhere, but that would be the possibility. And you're seeing, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's in no hurry to fill this running back spot because you might have another coach leaving, so you need to allocate that money in terms of how many coaches you need to hire. So I would expect, you know, the average, I believe, is about 1.7, so more than one. Tennessee has one right now. I would expect more.
Yeah, T. Martin, assistant head coach, pass game coordinator, wide receivers coach. So he's got three titles right there.
Tennessee legend.
Yeah, so not as bad as Georgia, as you have defensive coordinator and co-defensive coordinator and one assistant head coach.
Also, it's the assistant to the regional manager. I don't know how I messed that up. It's like I'm not even an Office fan. Embarrassing. I would not be able to live with myself this weekend if I didn't correct myself.
When we come back, John Wilkerson is set to join the program. We're going to close out the show with a power poll driven by Ted Russell Ford. The top five things to watch this weekend. Spoiler alert, Conor McGregor not on my list. So sorry for that, Conor. I'll read about it in the paper on Sunday, I guess.
I'm sure he cares.
All that coming up next on Sports 180 on The Sports Animal. Final segment of Sports 180 for the week. Sports Talk is on the horizon. John Wilkerson will join us in a few minutes. You want to change your picks? Feeling crazy? You want to go with your Titans?
I'm going to stick with it. You know, like, I picked Tennessee to upset New England. They did. And then I've gone the other way since then. I don't want to change anything. So I'm going to stay with Kansas City and San Francisco.
I feel boring picking the favorites.
You going to change it? You won't do it. You won't do it?
Well, I don't want to be accused of trying to jinx people's teams.
No, that way on Monday you can play both sides.
So maybe I should just pick Green Bay and that'll jinx them.
Yeah.
You know I loathe Green Bay. Yeah. Well, yeah. They're up there with the...
There was a certain play certain couple years ago.
He caught that ball, too. The NFL even said so. Brutal.
How about Dez looks like a saint compared to Odell and Antonio Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Which
Dez
is incredible.
Dez was never really a big problem child. Well,
he's annoying on Twitter, but...
On social media? He wanted to be a rapper, and he'd kind of do his rap thing.
That's the biggest of the worries for Dez Bryant compared to what's going on with Odell Beckham and and company.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Drew Rosenhaus had to fire
Antonio Brown. Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus, who is not, I would not put him as, you know, north on the moral compass by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, but you're at rock bottom when that happens.
Yeah, but does Antonio Brown know? I mean, there's no way he does, right? If Drew Rosenhaus dumps you, that's a bad day, right, John Wilkerson?
No question. No question whatsoever, because he has worked through a lot. We'll just put it that way.
I know you guys are going to talk about it coming up. Is it crazy to think that both underdogs, we could be talking about Green Bay and Tennessee in the Super Bowl on Monday?
It'd be pretty crazy. I'd be very surprised, but it is possible. Mm-hmm. You look at, I mean, last weekend, the two biggest favorites, one of them lost. So in Baltimore, both games are said to be a touchdown or 7.5. I believe it's 7.5 for San Francisco, Green Bay. It's a touchdown for Kansas City and the Titans. And think about that. I mean, after the Kansas City Chiefs did what they did in storming back to waylay the Texans.
No.
All they have right now is a 7-point favorite. And when you were talking yesterday with Alan Bell, he looked at it as perhaps a 9 to 10-point game when it came to all the simulations, all the computer simulations.
Yeah. I'm glad those computers don't play the games, though. I love this Titans team. And the fact that Kansas City's run defense just stinks.
It's been better. Mm-hmm. It's been better. Their defense as a whole has taken a pretty significant step forward. But I do wonder what it'll be like, because I don't think that the weather is supposed to be ideal. And
what'd you say it was? Overcast?
Well, that's San Francisco. It's going to be like 55 in San Francisco, overcast. So it looked fine. I'm not sure for the Kansas City game.
But it'll be cold.
Yeah, I would imagine. Has Mike Keith's wife been woken up at all this week with him just shouting in his sleep, "Touchdown Titans"? She's like, "What? Babe.
What
you're talking
Mike,
in your sleep.
No, what Mike has going on, he's been working a couple of good luck items, and so they've made every road trip thus far, and it's a Crystal Gale t-shirt and
a
pair of socks that have the face of his dog on it.
Okay.
On them.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's worked.
One of my college roommates gave that to me for Christmas. I wasn't, you know, I could have done without, but yeah. I know which socks you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, but anyhow, it's that has been at least part of the equation. I'm not going to say the difference maker. It's funny because I used to be as superstitious and still unbelievably too superstitious.
If it was the balls in the College World Series, I feel like some superstitions would come out.
No, I'm not doubting that for a moment. I mean, I still tailor very specific practices on game days and different things like that, whether it be football, basketball, or especially baseball. You know, whether you wear gray because it's a road game or white or orange if it's a home game, different things like that. And I just, the older I get, the more I realize this is such a folly for the fact that, so I'm supposed to take credit because I wore these socks when
100%, John. Yeah, yes, you are.
When the entire team has spent like an extra 100 hours in the weight room. I mean, different things like that. Actually working at their craft.
You take that credit.
That is the difference between Josh and myself. Josh would say, yes, it is folly. I say, you take all that credit. Because you sitting in that one section of your couch and not moving, even though you probably had to go to the bathroom a couple of times. Like, no, that counts.
Well,
but it might be wrong.
It's at least a coincidence is how I've always kind of defended that. It's like, hey, we won't know what would have happened if I wasn't.
But I did.
I love it. Before you tell us what's coming up on Sports Talk this afternoon, we'll close out the show with the power pole.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All right, John Wilkerson, it is Friday. That means top five things that we're going to be watching this weekend. Yours, sir.
Honorable mention, the Ice Bears are home tonight. It's Disney night, and somebody could win a $5,000 vacation.
Wow. Don't let that go.
Get dressed up as your favorite Disney characters. Go see the Ice Bears as they play tonight. Also, I have as an honorable mention, Tennessee at Vanderbilt. It's a big opportunity for Tennessee to bounce back from what was a woeful performance at Georgia. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. On the five line, I share it between the Lakers at Houston and Indiana at Denver. I think those are the two biggest games in the NBA this weekend. Number four, MLB Twitter. With everything that has been shown over to that has bubbled to the surface over the last couple of days, there's no telling what could, whether it's true or not, remains seen. But just what might be taken as fact between now and Monday. Three games to watch in college basketball: Louisville at Duke, Auburn at Florida, Kentucky at Arkansas, and then the top two for me: Green Bay at San Francisco, number one, Tennessee, the Titans at Kansas City.
All right, Eric Kane.
I will follow in a similar path. Honorable mention, Tennessee at Vanderbilt. At number five, I'll go the NBA route. That will be a Saturday contest, the Lakers at the Rockets. Number four, I got a pair of Big Ten basketball games. We got Michigan at Iowa, Wisconsin at Michigan State. That'll be at number four. At number three, I have Kentucky at Arkansas. Let's see who's for real there in Fayetteville, if Arkansas is going to be a player this year.
Hard place to play.
Number two, I've got Louisville at Duke. Number one, conference championship Sunday. You've got Tennessee at KC, and you have Green Bay at San Francisco.
That's right. He's a Dukie. I forgot about that till just now.
Are you saying he's a Duke fan or something completely different?
Both. No. Let's see. All of the above. Okay, my number five, my top five things. I've got a tie for some SEC hoops action. We'll all be watching Tennessee Vanderbilt, yeah. So that one went without me saying. Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, Arkansas. Are these the four best teams in the league? We'll see how it all shakes out after Saturday's games. Number four, it opened today, Bad Boys for Life. If you have the time and you are childless, go see this movie because you know it's going to be hilarious. I love the fact that they made one more on their way out. Number three is going to be Green Bay, San Francisco for me. Number two, Curb Your Enthusiasm is back, and I will take Larry David over Aaron Rodgers every day. So give me that one on Sunday night. And number one is the Titans, Kansas City. I'm so pumped for this game. If the Titans get blown out, I will be kind of sad. There's an emotion there. I'll be sad for everybody. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
I don't either. I think if Henry can have any semblance of what he's been doing, Tennessee will control the clock, the game will shrink, and I think it will not be a blowout by any measure.
And then anything can happen.
Yeah. I think I'm going 10.5, not the point spread, but the number of times that Patrick Mahomes checks himself out on the video board.
Oh, it's going to happen. Give me that over.
Loves to watch him some
Mahomes. Loves him some Mahomes.
John Wilkerson, what's coming up? Oh, first off, that's the Power Pole driven by Ted Russell Ford. We appreciate them sponsoring every day. Two great locations for you. Parkside Drive, also on Kingston Pike, and always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at TedRussellFord.net. Now, John Wilkerson, what's coming up on Sports Talk?
Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams today. We look forward to being joined by Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. We've got post-game reaction from Kelly Harper as the Lady Vols did a great job running past Florida yesterday. Also, pregame comments from Rick Barnes as he talks about the matchup against Vanderbilt. Brad Edwards of ESPN joins us to kind of put the wraps on college football. Hard to believe the season just ended this past Monday. We've got Al Brown, who will join us from 5 until 6, and that'll be to talk Vols, Lady Vols, SEC, college hoops. Always look forward to Coach Brown being a part of it. And let's see, comments from Mike Vrabel from his press conference earlier this week as the Titans head to Kansas City. And we will have an Eric Kane practice report. All that and more, your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. Today, me and Vince Ferrara on Sports Talk.
Kaner, just working all day. Morning, afternoon, evening,
Saturday mornings. Yeah. By the way, Jonathan Hutt, 9:30, Titans Radio on Saturday Sports Talk with Joel tomorrow morning, so it'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be definitely exciting. Yep. So we'll be tuned in and ready for that. And John, have a great afternoon. We look forward to listening to you guys.
Sure do appreciate it. Talk you guys soon. Have a great weekend.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back with more Sports 180 on Monday, talking NFL Super Bowl action. We'll have a couple of weeks to get ready for it, too. So for Eric Kane, Joel Silverberg, I'm Heather Harrington. Have a great weekend. Here comes Sports Talk on the Sports Animal.